Hello, I'm Elise McDonald.
I'm Lauren Suzuki.
And this is A Love Letter To,
where we write a conversational love letter to our favorite things from pop culture.
Grab your stationery and let's begin. This week, our episode is going to be about Chapel Roan. So I think this is the perfect person to start off this week's episode with, because Chapel Roan has had a recent popularity just within the past, like, I want to say month or two.
Yeah, and I think that's because she's opening for Olivia Rodrigo.
Yeah, there have been, like, definitely, I think she's kind of been, I don't think she deserves this, but I do think that she's kind of been in a controversial state, because I don't know if you know about this or, like, know more than me, but apparently she said something about, like, only, like, 13-year-olds listening to Olivia Rodrigo, and I mean, like, she's not probably wrong. She's not wrong on that. But have we had our Olivia Rodrigo hate episode?
I think we've spoken on it a few times in just live sessions, but I don't know.
Yeah. So I'm not here to hate. That's for another episode. Yeah. I'll just say that. But I definitely think some Olivia Rodrigo fans are a little mad at Chapel Roan, but what can you do? I'm siding with Chapel every day.
Yeah, and I think, honestly, it's because Olivia has become such a, like, pop culture icon that she has such a big fan base, kind of like BTS does, and those fans are willing to, like, risk life and limb to, like, yeah, protect their artist, even if it's just, like, an offhand comment, so.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think they're Olivia Rodrigo and Chapel Roan are friends, too.
So I mean, like, obviously, they open for it. It's like saying Toa and Renee aren't friends. Like, they open for each other. But on the whole thing, okay, we're going to give our friend a shout-out for, I think our friend, like, discovered Chapel Roan, like, 2 weeks before she, like, I started seeing everything about her online.
Sophie Cartwright, you were ahead of the game.
Yeah, so our friend Sophie was like, guys, I'm obsessed with this person, like, Chapel Roan, like, she's so good, like, oh my gosh. And she's like, you guys have to listen to, like, Red Wine Supernova. And she texted us, and I'm gonna be honest, I never actually listened to it until we were in the car together and she played it for me. And I was like, oh, Sophie, you're right, like, this is so good, blah, 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 blah. And anyways, 2 weeks go by, and all of a sudden, she's on every possible, like, single thing I click on. It's Chapel Roan. She's everywhere, and I cannot escape her. I'm not mad, but I cannot escape her.
Yeah. So I think this is a good segue into talking about her, like, marketing scheme and how, like, I think she became really popular. And that is through the internet and through TikTok and this, like, fast-paced content. Because before she released her album, she kept popping up all on my, like, pages and stuff. And it would be like, yeah, like, here's me teaching you the dance for this song. Here's me, like, singing. Here's whatever. Like, mm-hmm. Just all these random videos. And then I think it got to one point where she, like, made a video of, like, she tried to make a scandal about herself to make herself popular, because she was, like, yelling at people, and she was like, you guys are gay, you should know how to dance or something, and then she captioned it, like, I can't believe this girl said that or something. So, like, she just really went crazy with, like, the social media marketing, which I guess is the way to go in today's market, but it was just really interesting to see her, like, just, every day a new post. Like, I didn't even follow her, but somehow it always ended up on my page. Every day a new post until she released the album, and now everyone's posting about her instead of her always posting about herself.
Mm-hmm. And I think she also, like, I mean, she knew what she was doing, obviously, and somehow it worked. So I guess if you put your mind to it, I guess you can blow up. It's not all luck,
well,
I suppose.
Here is my thing that I'm going to say, which is, like, my conspiracy theory,
mm-hmm.
And half-based in fact. So her producer is Dan Nigro, the same as both Olivia Rodrigo and Conan Gray.
Oh, there you go.
And, you know, we've talked about how kind of Conan Gray has had his plateau, his rising, his plateau, and kind of his downfall, in our opinion.
Yeah.
And we're seeing Olivia Rodrigo rising and on her plateau, and Chaperone is rising. So I think Dan Nigro, whether it's intentional or not, is putting more of a focus on each artist for them to reach that highest point. And then I think after that, it's kind of like he's not going to put as much of a, you know, priority on them.
I mean, I definitely feel like Olivia Rodrigo is on her plateau. I don't think she's going up much higher at this point.
Yeah, she's just so popular.
And I think her next album, you know, she'll probably still be at a plateau and then maybe she'll start falling. But I kind of agree. I kind of, like, I remember when Olivia Rodrigo went viral. And she went viral because, like, high school, I mean, like, she had already, like, been in, like, the American Girl doll movie in, like, Bizarre Park or whatever.
Yeah.
And, like, that's what I remember from. And so, like, also because she was a familiar face, everyone was like, blah, blah, blah. But I think she, like, she really went viral from, like, High School, the musical, the series. And I don't know how. Actually, thank you for making that connection. Because mm-hmm. this feels exactly like how that was. Because I remember, like, vividly about when Olivia Rodrigo blew up. I remember her vividly blowing up because all of a sudden, everyone's talking about this, like, love situation on my, like, TikTok free page. And I was like, what is this? And
okay,
like,
let's get into that.
Talking about this show. And then I was like, what? And then all of a sudden, my For You page is being flooded by this show. So, of course, I got to watch the show. And then everyone's like, oh, my gosh, like, this song, like, all I want is love at last. And everyone's obsessed with it. And so then everyone's, like, hyping up this crazy album before it's even released.
Yeah.
And, like, I just remember her hype, and that is how Chaperone feels right now.
Okay, well, I have a lot to say on the whole Olivia Rodrigo rise to fame and kind of her whole love triangle and stuff. So I think we should make this a different episode.
That's true.
For a different day. But just put a pin in that because I've been having thoughts. But back to Chaperone.
It just feels all too similar. And maybe Chaperone will last because I'm kind of giving like a Melanie Martinez vibe from Chaperone in a sense that it's, I mean, also like Olivia Rodrigo in a way, which I will explain. But the whole like Chaperone dresses up. If you haven't looked a photo of her, looked at a photo of her, like her recent album, it's called The Rise and Fall of a Midwest Princess. And so she, like, makes her face, like, look like Marie Antoinette makeup.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, it's kind of, like, I mean, it is, like, very bizarre looking. But I think that's what her whole thing is. And that's why people like her. And I don't think people like her because she looks like Marie Antoinette in that way. But I think people like her because she's able to express her individuality,
mm-hmm.
and especially being a girl from, like, the Midwest, like, it's not very, like, you know, Marie Antoinette core or whatever.
Yeah, and I saw her talking about how kind of it's called The Rise and Fall of a Midwest Princess, and the way she, like, does her look
mm-hmm.
Is because, you know, coming from the Midwest, she was saying, like, everyone kind of has the same idea of the Midwest, and that's kind of like, you know, cornfields and, you know, not much going on and cold weather and humid summers and, you know, just these really like boxed in mm-hmm. ideas. And she's like, there's such a, like, culture within the Midwest, and all these different people exist within that. So she wanted to highlight that, which I thought was really cool.
Yeah. So I think, like, her whole individuality thing, and also, like, in Olivia Rodrigo, tell me that you see this, but it's, like, it's hard to describe with words and easier to describe with vibes, but I'm going to try and do it with words.
Okay.
Like, Olivia Rodrigo, it's very, how do I, like, I'm going to do what I want, like, yes, go girls, whatever. I don't know if that makes sense, but,
okay,
like,
well, give me the comparison, then I can try to find words.
That's how I feel about Chaperone. It's, like, I guess in a sense, you're creating a culture like that, not surrounding your music, but I mean, like, I guess you are, like, you're creating a whole category of, like, ways. The best way I could say this is, like, ways to look at life and ways to go about life. if that makes any sense. So it's like, how do I describe this to someone? It's like, I guess like the Rolling Stones, like there's this like, just keep on rolling, man, you know? You know that, right?
Yeah, you're saying kind of like their like perspectives and they're like,
yeah, their whole like mantra or whatever. Okay. And there is a mantra certainly with Olivia Rodrigo.
Yeah.
And there is fully a mantra with Chappell Roan. I think there's a mantra with Melanie Martinez.
Are you saying it's the same within all those artists?
No.
No.
I'm saying they have their own thing. Like,
yeah, yeah.
Renee Rapp, total mantra. She has a whole thing going on. And it's like she'd be like, yes, honey. Like something, you know, does that make sense?
Yeah, you're just saying they have different like personas, basically.
Personas that their listeners take on.
Oh, yeah.
And create a culture around. Like, I've seen videos of people at Chappell Roan concerts or going to like Olivia Rodrigo to see Chappell Roan, and they talk about, I just love that I can express my individuality. And that's kind of the culture I've noticed around Chappell Roan.
Okay.
So now that we've talked about her lore, I just think she's a very like interesting person.
Yeah.
I wanted to ask you, like, what are your thoughts on the Midwest princess look?
I think it's really, like we're saying, very individualistic. I mean, of course, it's not something you're going to wear every day. And frankly, the outfit and the look she presented to the NPR Tiny Desk performance, that made me mad. I'm sorry.
Okay, I'm glad you agree.
Because, so let me describe this to you. So Rise and Fall of the Midwest Princess, the album art, like we've been saying, Marie Antoinette makeup, pageantry kind of outfit. Her hair is like really done up and curled, etc. And then for the NPR Tiny Desk concert, she...
I'm looking at a photo right now.
I don't know what she's wearing as an outfit, but she has lipstick on her teeth, and her hair is like a rat's nest, and apparently, like, they put a garbage bag inside of her wig to make it, like, bigger. And, I mean, of course, I get that it's, like, camp and whatever, but I think we're just getting to a point where it's, like, there's... What's going on? You're trying too hard. Trying too hard to be camp.
I respect what she's doing. And I like the message that goes along with it. But I think it's ugly.
Yeah.
I think it's ugly. I would not wish that upon myself to look as... Because I don't want to say I wouldn't want to look like her. Because, like, without makeup, she's, like, really pretty. But I just, like, would not want to have that look on myself, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
But I feel like episodes need to be dynamic, so here I am to hate for just a little bit. Mm-hmm. Not to hate, just to dislike. But I certainly agree. These Melanie Martinez, like, I'm connecting them to in my mind for some reason, but, like, Melanie Martinez with their weird alien stuff, I cannot get behind that. And the whole thing, you were talking about how Chappell was like, oh, like, there's such, like, a culture within the Midwest. Like, it's not just cornfields. That made me mad.
Really?
Because I've been to the Midwest.
Have you lived in the Midwest? Load.
Nope. But okay. I don't care. And I want to keep my, I want to keep these false ideas in my head about them because genuinely, I've been to the Midwest, most of it, oh my God, most boring place I've ever been to. Have you been to the Midwest? Have you spent time there?
No, but I'm going to defend the great states of Minnesota and Iowa with my life because that's where my dad grew up and went to college. Iowa, that's a great place.
Here's my thing, right? I used to be like, oh, why does everyone hate the Midwest? And then, like, I was like you. I was young, sweet, naive, innocent. Until I went, and I'm just going to say, I was at a summer camp when I went, but we went out into town, or, like, it wasn't really, like, a town, like, we drove around and, like, went to places, and I was like, okay, if I was not, like, obviously it was fun because of the summer camp, but I was like, I could not, plus, keep in mind, I was in Indianapolis, like, that is a city, and, oh my gosh, it's just filled with, like, Walmart's, Target's,
okay, well, at least,
maybe a couple buildings.
At least let me talk to you, because this is exactly what Chappell is against. She's like, everyone, everyone groups the Midwest into this one, like, boring, bad place. And it's, first of all, multiple states. Second of all, multiple cities.
Can we just acknowledge that Chapel might be wrong and I'm always right?
No. Moving on. So, back to her campy look. I think, and I saw a video where it was, like, her makeup and hair person was like, yeah, all these looks were actually intentional. And, of course, I get the meaning behind it being like, oh, like, it's all about pageantry and, like, what happens when you're not living up to that pageantry standard and kind of, like, you know, that messy look. Mm-hmm. But it just was like, why would you put that on the internet? And, of course, it's like, oh, whatever, that's so iconic, but it's just not for me. I think... like, in at the risk of sounding like a parent, like, there's a certain way you should present yourself
in that frame. Is not it.
And that is not it. Okay. Yeah.
So, let's do a quick summary on her music. I talk like I know a lot about her, but really, I mean, I haven't listened to all of her music, but she has an album called The Rise and Fall of a Midwest Princess. And I know probably a good, like, 3/4 of all the songs on here. So, why don't we just rattle off some songs to finish up the episode?
I have 2 songs that I... Well, here's the thing. Let me give myself some more credibility. I only listen to the songs that our friend Sophie has recommended to me and the ones that I like of those. But I do know a lot of about Chapel Roan just from, like, the internet, okay. You know? So, I have more knowledge of the lore than of the music, if you will.
Okay, there you go. Do you want to go first? Or why don't you give me your 2 songs?
Okay, so I'll just start you off. My 2 songs from Chapel Roan off of The Rise and Fall of a Midwest Princess are Red One Supernova. That song is just so, like, poppy. Like, mm-hmm. You're going to, like, you know, dance, whatever. It's so fun. And then My Kink Is Karma, that one, it sounds really strange. But, like, just take a listen. It's good. It's so good. It's such, like, a revenge song, and I love it, because, you know, if this is the song for everyone who has ever wished, like, pour on their enemies.
Lauren's done that.
Been there, done that.
Okay, one of the ones there's a couple that are, like, really popular right now, but I would probably say Casual is quite popular right now. It's kind of like a major ballad, whatever. Hot to Go is also popular. And it's gotten really popular because she goes HOTTOGO, and, like, the audience will do, like, make those letters, like, with their arms or whatever.
Yeah, like a dance.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so it's caught on. When I first listened to that song, I was like, I don't know. But it's definitely grown on me. Casual is just a really good song, in my opinion. But my current favorite right now is Pink Pony Club. And she starts off, like, the vibe that she starts off with is completely different to where the rest of the song goes. And she has, like, that kind of, like, hyper pop in my mind, like, kind of, like, really poppy sound. But it's kind of really poppy in the way that, like, Muna can be really poppy, mm-hmm. You know? And I'm here for it. And then also another one that's, like, kind of good. I don't know. This is one of our other top ones, is Feminine Nomenon. I just think it's really fun to say. So
there we go.
That was it. But if I had to give you one to listen to, it would probably be Red Wine Supernova.
Yeah. That one's a really good. Yeah, it's a good starter, and it's popular for a reason.
All right. We've said our things, and we've spoke our truth. Let's finish it off and go. Dear Chapel Roan,
we love you.
XOXO,
Lauren,
and Elise.